Allowance for a Teenage Hooker. Written by R.B. Paul. Narrated by Paige Harper. Prologue. Sandy made it out the back door and was sticking to the shadows alongside the building. She'd had enough. Called on to turn a trick in her room for the fourth time tonight was enough. She wasn't going to wait for a fifth. She was sore, and her face burned from one of the Johns getting his jollies by slapping her silly when he climaxed. She could see the parking lot in the back, and it was empty. Emboldened, she struck out straight for the tree shadows on the far side of the driveway.
"Going somewhere?"
a deep voice asked. "Shit!" she shouted, and bolted to run. A man who played linebacker in college tackled her on the neighbor's lawn. With a large man on each arm, she was brought before the house mother, a.k.a. Black Willa.
"Girl,"
the heavy woman said,
"you know's the penalty for leaving without paying up your bill."
She struggled to no avail. "I've paid my goddamn bill, especially tonight. 4 Johns and one of them a beater? I think I've done my fucking share."
"Not quite, girlfriend."
The woman grunted and slugged Sandy in the stomach repeatedly for what seemed like an eternity.
"You got's 2 more Johns tonight. These 2 nice bros who helping you to the car in the parking lot."
Sandy screamed before a meaty hand clamped over her mouth. With an incredibly deep chill, she realized that she would never see sunrise again. Her bladder released its contents. It was nearly an effortless lift for the 2 black guards. In truth, they were enforcers, and they had just enforced the supreme punishment for the pretty teenaged girl with copper hair. She wasn't pretty now. Her crime was trying to leave the house. By the time the 2 goons finished raping her, finished kicking and stomping her, she was unrecognizable as to her identity. And almost unrecognizable as to being human. She was bloody, limp, dead meat to wrap in an old carpet. They tossed the roll into the trunk of their car and drove away, heading for Fort Point under the Golden Gate Bridge. Fort Point was as good as a place to dump the body. It was close to the place where the tidal waters moved the fastest, and at this time, just turning to an outbound tide. They prepared the roll per Willa's instructions. Add enough weight to counteract the air entrapped in the carpet. Allow the body to sink slowly. It might take perhaps 25 to 40 pounds. They did their work efficiently, as they had done this before. The necessary materials were at hand. Tightly wrap the ends with duct tape, so the carpet won't unroll for quite a while, if ever. Finally, drill a 1-inch hole through the carpet right into her viscera. Place a 1-inch perforated plastic pipe in the hole so that the body gases would escape into the depths. Take a couple of tape wraps around the girth, just for good measure, and the girl would rest in Davy Jones' locker forever. If they did the job correctly, the roll would have a slight negative buoyancy, but not enough to make it sink and stay on the bottom of the bay under the rushing current. It would tumble and bounce along the bottom until it came to a really deep place, or the current ran out of strength. Then it would drift into a depression in the bottom, where even a moderate surface current couldn't move it. Any trapped air would dissolve into the seawater, and in about 10 hours, the body could be 5 miles offshore and in its final resting place. They consulted their watches, because the body had to be dumped at a certain time to take the most advantage of the millions of tons of water moving to the west at speeds up to 5 knots. When it was time, they carried her down the riprap to the water's edge and threw her as far into the Black Bay as possible, which was about 10 feet. Even a foot or more out into the water would make a difference.
"She's history,"
one of them said.
"Yeah, a giant human sushi roll for bottom feeders,"
the other said.
"Time for a long pull on that bourbon bottle. Amen, brother."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?